TV Dudes podcast recorded March 26, 2015. Better Call Raylan. How you doing?
I am excellent. How are you?
Good. We both just got back from some vacations.
I like the vacations. We both saw a lot of sunshine and the beach.
Yeah. And hey, what's that in the background? What's this background noise? It's a little harder to hear than usual here.
I know. Well, we have a few more people here. But actually, no. We're not in Randy's abode, but we are at Nomad.
Yeah.
One of the best bars in Austin. And actually, you know, this is the place that I met you.
It is.
Years ago.
When I was bemoaning a family situation.
That's a whole other story, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
And so I told Martin, like, I like this guy. I love this guy. He's so cool.
I want to make a TV podcast with him.
Yeah.
And Martin was like, that's very specific.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are recording on location over at the Nomad Bar today because Randy's not recording with us, and so we didn't, you know, he kicked us out. So we didn't have a place to go.
We didn't have a place to go. We're homeless.
Yeah, we thought we'd record over here in the bar.
Name, Nomad.
Yeah. So apologies for any audio concerns. This won't be the norm. It'll be fixed next week.
Right.
And we're also doing a really short episode, so we're just going to talk about Better Call Saul and
Justified.
That's the title of this episode. Chat about it a little bit. Talk about a few other things. And keep it short. Sweet.
Yeah, because they're both close to the end of their seasons. I think they both got like two or three episodes left.
For Justified, the end of the series.
Whoa. And actually, one news story. Did you see this?
Oh.
I saw this in my email with the television festival, the ATX Television Festival. They're having they're going to have a Justified panel.
Yeah, I saw.
Which I'm like, okay, I got to go to that.
I totally want to.
And I think the whole cast is going
to
go.
I need to try and get our press badge.
Yeah. I'm going to buy one because I gotta go see that.
Yeah.
I gotta meet our Walter. Walton Goggins, because he's actually influenced the way I dress. I love the way Boy dresses. You know, the no necktie with the button all the way top. I'm like, I love that. And he's so good.
I find it a little creepy. It's like,
I know, but it's like, it's creepy
like one of the Munsters or something.
Well, no, it's like this. It's like the elegant poor man way of, it's like the coal man, the coal miner elegant way of dressing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you don't want to wear
the hill
a tie.
People.
Yeah, you don't want to wear a tie, but you're gonna button that top button, and it does gives you a different look. And he's always wearing a vest with his pocket watch, and I don't know.
So before we get into the rest of our house cleaning, Greg, I did want to point out something that you and I both saw on the internet today.
Yeah.
Obama interviewing David Simon.
Listen. Okay.
This is like, it was awesome.
It was, I watched it driving up here actually, because I saw the Facebook post. Traffic is really slow, and I've got a thing to hold my phone in the car so I can actually like watch video. So I'm watching.
So wait. You watch videos while you're driving? And
while I'm sitting in traffic? Yes, I do.
Oh, boy.
I know it's terrible. But not when I'm driving like full speed. Just when I'm sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic. But anyway, it was amazing. It was awesome. It's like, I don't know. It
wasn't something like, you see politicians where they'll shy away from some of these tough subjects just because going into answering like the intricacies of the drug war. Because David Simon, he's creator of The Wire, for anyone who doesn't know.
Right.
And he's also very outspoken against, like, the drug war and the problems with where police and the rest of the industry kind of focuses their energy.
Right.
And so he has this very in-depth for only... It's only a 12-minute interview or discussion.
Yeah.
But it's very in-depth, and it actually... it was interesting to hear Obama just like really bluntly like say, here is what we hope to achieve, here are some of the problems, here's some of the things we have to look at.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool to hear both of them talk in the same room.
Well, it's interesting for me because I mean, I was born in Chicago and I moved a long time ago, but you know, I've got family there. And my godmother back in like the 90s was telling me about Barack Obama because he was a community organizer there, and then he went to the state legislature in Illinois. And my godmother went to go see him speak, and she told me, he's like, you should see this guy Barack Obama. I was like, well, who's this guy? And I was living in New York at the time. And
what
I was like,
the name is that?
Who's this guy?
Blah, blah, blah. That guy would never get anywhere.
Right, so
like
I kind of like just had it in the back of my mind, but Obama's viewpoint is very much like a street viewpoint of like David Simon. Simon was a reporter, and as a street organizer through and going through neighborhoods, Obama definitely has a unique perspective that I don't think a lot of politicians have.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that he would like The Wire. And also the funny thing is like even with his wife Michelle, who's from Chicago, grew up in the streets of Chicago, and was a lawyer at some firm that dealt with a lot of Chicago issues. Those issues make sense for those guys to have. So it was wonderful. Plus the fact that probably two of my bigger influences philosophically talking, it was wonderful. You should check it out. Even if you don't like Obama, the point that they made, it goes, even people on the left of the political spectrum and the right all know that the mass incarceration that we do is insane.
Yeah, it's not effective. It's not effective for the crime statistics or fiscally. And, you know, not to get into politics too much, but it was really neat to see this sort of crossover between that and television, and to see how powerful television can actually be. Because, I mean, even the president like was basically saying how instrumental David Simon was in elevating and pushing the discourse to like the general public, and making this a smarter discussion on how we need to kind of resolve these issues. And I was just like, man, The Wire is so powerful.
And I have a unique perspective.
You don't see that from Breaking Bad. No,
well, it's a different...
I'm kidding.
I know, but it's a different... Yeah, but it was funny, though.
Yeah.
I have also perspective, too, because my father was a DEA agent, Drug Enforcement Administration. So my dad was, quote-unquote, a soldier in the drug war.
Yeah.
And even him, while he was doing it, was... I mean...
Kind of down the mouth about the whole ordeal?
Well, yeah, because he was... I mean, one way it was like a job, so he didn't, he was like, yeah, you know, it's a job, whatever. But because also he was into the arresting thing, he not necessarily the prosecution and you know, the incarceration stuff.
DEA agent, not a DA.
Right. So, but it's still, I mean, after a while, he ended up becoming internal affairs because it just got to the point where there's a lot of issues with even the police, and that's one of the things they talked about in the interview. Because what Simon does, especially season 3, talks about how you're training these cops for stats. You're not training them for police investigation work.
Yeah.
And when you're just getting somebody who's just some knucklehead who's just going to go and arrest teenagers, which isn't that difficult, they're not going to have the mental capacity or the education to go do a case like, you know, like
actual detective work.
Yeah, detective work. Detective work, that's a problem.
So that's a skill that needs to be constantly honed.
Right,
yeah.
So a lot of issues, but it was just great seeing our president talk to David Simon about that.
And very cool.
I encourage you to go look at it. It's only 12 minutes, so.
So we actually got a couple of iTunes shout-outs that I wanted to... point out.
Wait, no reply from that dude before?
I did. Well, I wasn't going to read it. That was all.
Oh.
But we're going to read the 5-star ones. That's what we decided to stick with.
Okay.
So this one, ignore that one.
All right, cool.
Our first one comes from 3DogMom, who says, great podcast. As a TV junkie, I enjoy listening to your opinions and recaps. Keep up with the good work. Thanks for turning me on to Fortitude and the Nick.
All right, good. And 3DogMom, you should contact us and tell us what you think of those, too.
Yeah. And next one comes from Composite Who Horrible. Awesome. I haven't heard that guy in a while.
Yeah.
Says, of Love and Milk. Ever surfing among the channels, the brave heroes of the interwebs, the TV dudes fight the forces of bad network programming, as well as the evil of sinister milk plots. The love triangle is strong between these three as we join Grant, the handyman, Davis.
I love this.
Greg, Amani, Versace, Jacob, Jingleheimer, Smith.
That's great. I love that.
And Randy, the Wolfmander, Lander. Oh. As they fight against the forces of the Milkmaster and his horde of milk toast warriors.
Oh, that's awesome.
Guest starring, sometimes but not really, Johnny Neal as the Question Milk. a fantastic program that keeps me ever connected to the world of TV. It's a great show to listen to for crazy cord cutters like me.
And cord cutters are you can take the crazy off the cord cutters because yeah. you're not that's not craziness. I mean, the new one with HBO and ESPN.
HBO Now? Oh.
Oh, the yeah, Apple yeah. TV with ESPN. I'm like, oh, what? Because that's the thing that keeps me is the live sports. And if you can do that, they already have NBA League Pass you can watch online.
They have ESPN Live now, don't they?
Yes, they do. But yeah, you have to have a cable connection. But if you do that on Apple TV, and I can get NBA TV, which is my favorite sport.
You're done too. Man, if they lose you, you're their biggest champion.
I'm probably never going to really do it, but it's like, it's got to be convenient, it's got to be cost effective.
Yeah. Bitch better have my money. Y'all should know me well enough. Bitch better have my money. Play down, call me on my bluff. Pay me what you want it. Ballin' bigger than LeBron. Bitch, give me your money. Who y'all think y'all frontin' on? Like, blah, blah, blah. Louis 13 and it's all on me. Nigga, you just bought a shot. Kamikaze, if you think that you gon' knock me off the top. Shit, your wife in the backseat of my brand new foreign car. Don't act like you forgot. I call a shot, shot, shot. Like, blah, blah, blah. Pay me what you want it. Don't act like you forgot. And we're going to go ahead and hold off on news this week, but let's talk about these shows.
Yes.
Because it's been a few weeks since we've actually addressed them, and I'll leave it to you, Greg. Which one do you want to start off with?
Oh, man, I don't even know.
Better Call Saul or Justified?
They're both that I try to watch live.
Yeah?
And I'm just very happy. Actually, ironically, the place we're staying in Burbank, a nice little studio, a really cool little home away, they didn't have, it's cut the cable, cut the cord, so they didn't have like live cable. So I had to watch both of those shows online, you know, with my cable connection, so I was able to
watch. And it wasn't a problem?
Oh, no, it wasn't a problem at all. No, but I mean, I had to have a cable connection to log in to be able to watch them this week's episodes. Yeah. But I have to tell you, it killed me for a day to have to wait. Because both these shows are watched the night of. So I'd say Better Call Saul only because it comes on Mondays.
Okay. So we haven't actually addressed this show for a couple weeks. And first off, we didn't talk about the Mike episode.
Yes.
The Mike episode happened 3 episodes ago as of this recording, because the most recent episode we're talking about is Rico.
Yeah.
But a couple episodes back, they delved into the backstory of Mike Ehrmantraut without doing like flashbacks or anything. But it was one of the most powerful episodes of that show, of any show.
It is. Well, I mean, you knew something drove him to the dark side.
Yeah.
Or look at... Well, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself, really, if I think about it. But that backstory with the son and his admission that he was dirty and that he broke his son was
it's
one of those. It's one of those moments on TV you see, like, wow. You just feel it, you know? And he played it really well. The story makes sense.
The range of emotion, like how he can just be so angry and curmudgeonly, and then just in a little flicker, kind of break.
Yeah,
and then like pull it back again. It's just like, wow, he's so good.
And you know what's so funny? What's funny about it? Not to get into a Breaking Bad issue, but he's so crafty. The way he took care of those two guys,
with
the gun and playing to being drunk. That's why when Walter, spoiler, when Walter finally shoots him, I'm like, how is this guy gonna fall for Walter's shit and go someplace unarmed?
Because he's very unassuming.
I don't know that
Walter is. I mean, you don't.
Yeah,
he could never see him as a credible threat.
And I think the funny thing is, actually, you know what?
And even then, it shows that Mike gets shot by that guy.
But it makes, yeah.
So he wasn't that efficient.
Right. Well, I mean,
he gets better. I think he gets smarter as the series goes on.
But I think he does have a dismissive quality to him that dismisses certain things he thinks is total nonsense without thinking him through, and you can kind of see that a little bit with some, like,
which him di- is his downfall. He just kind of underestimates people.
Right, which is him, if you see the way he's always dismissed Saul, and to the point where he ends up starting working for him, but he's always dismissing him when he probably shouldn't be.
Well, I think it's also, I mean, now that we're the cat's out of the bag of, about Breaking Bad, which is also the name of, like, the second episode, I believe, of the show.
Yeah.
I think there's something about Walter White that Mike could normally read him as being a very logical guy.
Yes.
And this is one of the first times Walter White breaks from logic to That's do right. something really out of passion.
Right.
And, I mean, he even walks away and then just out of a fit of rage goes yeah. back. Because
right,
of his
exactly.
ego.
You're right.
And that's what is so remarkable about it, that, yeah, okay, Mike would let his guard down because he wouldn't expect
right.
Walter White to act out of passion. Anyway.
But you still see, but it's funny because this show is going to enrich Breaking Bad for you because of all the
yes.
backstories.
And the fear was that it was going to basically Phantom Menace us.
Which?
Because it was going to take the backstories and just kind of muddy and ruin them and ruin the mystique. But
it's
these guys
it,
know what they're doing.
No, and
Peter
and,
Gould and
Gilligan.
Vince Gilligan.
I mean, it's like, there's certain names in TV and in creative culture, whatever it is, you just trust.
Yeah.
You know, and
George Lucas is not among them
he's
anymore.
He's not one of them. He's not one of them, but Gilligan is.
Yes.
So now anything he touches, even like for his network stuff, it's probably better than most of the network things. Or
yeah, that Battle Creek was still, it had some snappy writing and
right.
Character interaction for, I mean, it was still a watered down network show that he's not really a part of at all.
But it's still, he puts his name on something, there's going to be some kind of quality to it that you'll notice, which I really like when with creators who do that.
Yeah.
But getting back to Saul, the Aaron Trout episode was great. But I'm telling you, man, as much, I love John Hamm. I think John Hamm deserves an Emmy. I think he's one of the best actors on television right now. But I think what the role that Olin Kirk is doing with Saul, all the layers, I love the backstories when he goes back in time. You see Jimmy the way and how Jimmy's becoming Saul.
Yeah.
All those subtle things, I love what he's doing.
I love how we always have to give a pass to Olin Kirk just always looking like a 6-year-old dude with a wig.
I don't even, I don't even,
when
I do.
When he's younger, I'm like, he always looks the same age. Just, you're not fooling me.
But he's so good that I give it to him because he like
50. How old is that guy?
I don't know, but the funny thing is, like, he even does something different with his voice.
Yeah,
where it's like he's younger with his voice and his body acting
still
younger.
Gravelly, but
yeah, but he looks yeah, but he's a younger knucklehead.
Yeah,
but seeing
Slippin' Jimmy,
but seeing Slippin' Jimmy becoming more legitimate. So after the Mike episode, you had the episode with
the sprayed money.
Which again shows how awesome Mike is.
Yeah.
But just how broken and Jimmy is because he takes the money. I got this office. I'm going to call, you know, the girl that I've been into or we're friends with. We're going to build this office together. Come be it, get a corner suite.
But he wasn't going to use that money for it, was he?
Yeah, he was. That was the whole problem. He got that. He rented that thing out. He's going to use the money for it because you find out the people who embezzled gave him $30,000. And he was going to, or I don't know if it was 30
so
guys.
So he's just going to steal all of it?
No, he's going to take it and use it. But then, when he found out how delusional they were, when he found out how
yeah.
much trouble he'd been, he gave it back. And the whole thing with Irma
Trump
and money back.
I didn't fully understand that he was getting that office.
Yes.
Because it didn't seem linear how they told the story. Like, him showing the office, I was like, how's he going to afford that?
Well, because of that money.
Yeah.
He always had that money, but he had to give it back. That's why the scene with him closing the door and just screaming,
yeah,
because he couldn't afford it after that. And he's back in the nail parlor.
Yeah.
But the way he maneuvered them, and I think that's the thing about Gilligan and the writing and Odenkirk, is that Slippin' Jimmy is a scammer, but he's got a weird conscience that there's certain things he just won't do.
Yeah.
Or if there's certain, and he used to do this with Walt, which is really funny. where you're like, Walt, I know you got this thing going, but you're not going to win this. We're not going to win. Like, Jimmy will push it to a point, but Jimmy's never totally irrational.
I mean, yeah, he's shady, but at the same time, I guess it's a bridge too far,
yeah,
like you're saying.
Where he's like, yeah, you're not going to get away with this, and I'm not going to put my reputation on the line, thinking that you idiots who didn't cover your tracks are going to get rid of this.
Although it does sort of seem like his motivation for doing the right thing,
right,
was more out of his love and respect for what's her name?
Yeah,
his which off, I, on again, off again,
yeah,
whatever
the
relationship.
Lady, yeah,
but it's clear that they at one point had a relationship, and they still seem to just have a profound amount of respect for each other, and they have like a strong friendship. And whether or not there's anything romantic still within there,
yeah,
I don't know. But I think that's what makes it really fascinating.
Well, that kind of leads into Rico, where it opens up with one of the best, with a great, flashback scenes.
Yeah.
With him getting his passing the bar, and where she, it was funny, she passed it, but it's like they started in the mailroom together.
Yeah, and it's I mean, so you see how their paths diverge,
right.
But at the same time, it's kind of hilarious and it's inspiring to see, like, he's the type of guy who would go and get his law degree and do it all under the table over the course of,
right,
probably like 2 or 3 years. Even though he's getting kind of a cheap one, he's doing it on his off time.
American Samoa University.
Yeah. At some budget university. He still manages to get it. And that's still no easy feat.
No, it's not.
And you can see his brother's disappointment, which makes me wonder, do you think that his brother basically told the other guy to tell him, like, no, we don't want a part of you being part of this company or whatever? Also, do you think that's what he said?
Oh, yeah, was it?
Well, was he getting fired?
He didn't get fired. Because
they said it reassessment.
Yeah, which was genius the way they did it.
Yeah.
And
it was just like, no, we can't hire you.
But the copier noise, the discussion in the room, they had just celebrated with all this cake in the copy room because Jimmy was a male guy there.
It's,
and I love the way...
Such a trademark of Vince Gilligan's work,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And I just think... I think his brother had issues with him, but I think his brother didn't actively block that.
Yeah,
I don't think
And his pride seemed, or at least him saying that, seemed a little bit disingenuous,
right,
because I think he was a little bit more just shocked that his brother could achieve that than he was necessarily proud. He was just like,
yeah,
really, you?
Yeah.
I think he's always just kind of looked down on him, is what we were supposed to take from that.
Little brother.
Yeah.
It's little brother. So.
Little brother, and also kind of the scam artist fuck up who's always been riding his older brother's coattails.
Right.
And I think that's also probably a little bit of what attributed to his brother, Michael McKean, having a mental break.
Right.
Like this idea of his brother working with him, of his brother maybe in a way compromising what he's worked so hard to kind of earn, and him just not knowing how to cope with that just makes him like suddenly not know how to do lawyer work and then make up some bullshit thing about allergy to
this shows the genius of this show.
Yeah.
Because
you don't know.
No, but they show that, you start thinking about that, and then you show Jimmy actually getting a case that can pull his brother out of this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
kind of save him.
Yes, kind of save him. And the way Jimmy stumbles on the case is great. I mean, I just love it. He's like Columbo. You ever watch Columbo?
He's okay. Matlock, though.
Yeah, he's Matlock.
He's in a suit.
The way he comes back goes, wait, I got one more little question for you. Ah, this doesn't make any sense. And the way he came back on that client for the will was just genius. And I loved every bit of it. I love that.
I like how his brother's like $20 million.
Yeah.
That's how much we want.
Right.
And it's like, that's probably the nail in the coffin of that whole deal.
Right.
Because, I mean, this is one of those things where you constantly play this game of, could he actually have won that and then somehow lost all that money?
Right.
Or or does he not win this case? And it's because his brother had a momentary lapse of ego or something.
Right, right.
Because if they did win and they got $20 million, that does not explain why he's this shady strip mall lawyer in Breaking Bad.
Well, I mean, Jimmy's got...
Looks into the future.
Yeah, well, it might be because this might be his style. You know, not flashing money, because as we know...
Well, he would have never taken Walter White back. Yeah. He wouldn't deal with
it. Well, I think he took him, but then he underestimated him. Because remember, Jimmy's the first guy who pushed the ejector button.
It's going to be so fascinating to finish up this show and then go back and rewatch Breaking Bad and see how what we now know of his backstory plays into how he does stuff. And I'm sure when they're writing stuff now, they're thinking about all those scenes they did with him in the other show.
Well, Jimmy always was trying to... He got the investment money.
Mm-hmm.
He was always trying to curb Walter. But then that bridge too far for him was spoiler. The whole playing cigarettes with Ryson. Aaron Paul's character. I'm totally forgetting.
Jesse.
And after that, when Jesse went nuts, Saul's the first guy. He's the guy who left first. Remember, he took that package from what's his face first, from Robert Forrester first, because he knew it was over.
Yeah.
And he was the one who said, "It's done. You need to stop right now." And so he's always had this weird kind of. And I will say, being from the Midwest, because he's from Skokie, he's from Illinois, which is not too far from Chicago, Skokie.
Yeah.
He always has this kind of sensibility to him, like, I'm okay, but wait a second, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that. So this show is great. It's riveting.
It is brilliant. Now, let's move on to another show, which, Justified, by the way.
Yeah.
I am constantly amazed at how well this final season is. It's pulling everything off. It's like tying everything together. It's taking its time still, and it all still feels fluid to the rest of the series. I love it bringing in what's that girl's name? Loretta. And how she's factoring back into the bigger picture, how the Bennets still have this hold on like the story of the town.
And Limehouse.
I mean, these other characters kind of pop in and out, but like they all fit into this greater lore of Harlan County.
Yeah, it is. I'm really appreciating all those characters and all the interactions. And I don't know why. I wish it was more Tim and Raylan interaction. Those things. Tim, that shit is funny, man. That guy is hilarious. His dry sense of humor.
Well, okay, we were talking before about spinoff series a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Tim.
Yes.
Put Tim in a Justified spinoff series.
Right.
Because it seems like everything with Raylan is just going to be a train wreck, but Tim is also such a fascinating character that doesn't seem like they have explored all the things at all.
Well, you know what's funny? If you're listening to this podcast, you probably watched the show, but if you haven't, if you go back and watch the first episode, because Helene had never seen the first episode.
Yeah.
They have all this shit laid out in the first. Tim, forgot the woman's name, who's running the agency now.
Oh, yeah.
Her. They have all the characters in there, except obviously like Limehouse or something. And you see who they are already. And
they're already like that. Thought out.
Yeah, it's weird to watch, but it's great.
Huh.
And so I love where they're taking the story.
I'll need to rewatch it.
Yeah,
because also like take the old fan, you can see how much he's aged in this.
Yes,
six seasons.
Yes, he's aged a lot, but
he's got the gray hair. I mean, he looks kind of a little more regal now.
Well, yeah, regal, and it's also just Raylan isn't just. He's not just shooting guys like in the opening scene of the first episode.
Yeah,
he's trying to think his way through stuff and go against his natural impulse of just shooting people.
Yeah,
and I think he's going to end up coming to. He's going to see. I think my question is he going to revert back to that impulse of just shooting people or getting in the shootout, and is it going to bite him in the ass eventually, or is he going to stay the thinking Raylan and really try to get through this and like kind of lead the guns away and try to solve whatever he needs to solve that way? That to me is a question, because they keep alluding to it. It's like, hey, you think this is going to end in a blaze out shootout. You think it's going to end the way you think it is? You know, and which, I love those conversations.
Which pulls us right back to this episode because, I mean, we were talking a little bit off mic before about this. I mean, they have so many scenes that just build up all this tension and you, these twists and turns that build up between...
Boyd?
No, what's the white-haired guy?
Sam... Hold on, I got
Sam Elliott's character.
Sam Elliott's character.
And Mary Seabird. Man, I wish I remembered their character's name because they have great names also in the show.
Right.
But this tension between them with kind of the reveal of her deceit. And and obviously the, I guess, purity of his sincerity of love for her, that he would bring that $10 million to save her, even after knowing he already knew that she had deceived him.
Yeah, that
because
was
because of Raylan.
Yeah, that was insane. I mean, that was like, yeah, and that's where you're kind of like, but does he do it to prove that he's wrong? I mean, does he need to see for himself or hear from her?
I mean, I think there's something sincere. He's a bad guy. I mean, he's killing that old lady to get land and all that.
Well, actually,
still,
one of my favorite scenes was
that discussion between him and Boone.
He goes, "You don't do this. You hired me to do this."
Yeah.
Which
that character, all of a sudden, like in the last season, just kind of coming out of nowhere, is so great. Boone?
Creepy.
Oh, man.
He is creepy.
I had to look up like where else I've seen him because I guess he was one of the guys in Black Donnelly.
Yeah.
Or the Black Donnellys.
Yes.
Yeah. And a couple other shows. And he's so good at carrying off this creepy hillbilly,
but he's
like
from,
fast, quick shooter guy.
Yeah, he's from Colorado. The character is, but
is he?
Yeah, because the whole thing is to legalize weed in Colorado. He's the whole idea is that they think, or Markham is his name, thinks he's going to buy influence to legalize weed in Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. There's like a bigger thing going on here. And he brings his henchman from Colorado, who's just, oh my gosh, he's just creepy and just when he's in the diner about the hat. And by the way, the whole hipster thing.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Love it.
Taking down the hipster. What do you
think? It's so funny too. You're wearing that dude's hat.
I know. But it's funny because it's like.
But you carry it off. You're in a band.
Yeah, I'm in a band. And yeah.
You've earned it.
Yeah, I've earned it. Yeah, and I want to go. And I love the hipster neighborhoods of Los Angeles.
Oh yeah.
But it's funny because it's like this whole thing where. Where that menacing, and Justin Roiland's always been good at that menace, and having different characters that are menacing without the violence, and you don't see what happens yet.
Yeah.
But he's just scary, man.
And it's one of those characters you kind of want who can actually maybe potentially square off in a shootout against Raylan, so he's a credible threat.
Yeah.
Because we know, like, Raylan not only has the swagger, but he can actually back it up with... He can pull out that gun and shoot people faster than they can.
Right.
And he's proven that season after season.
Yeah.
And this guy revels in being a quick draw.
Yeah,
it's
the actor
neat to see.
Is Jonathan Tucker.
Jonathan Tucker.
He plays Boone.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, there's a couple other things developing. Wynn Duffy.
With Mikey. Mikey being like, no, it's about a code.
Yeah.
And, like, Mikey's dumb.
Yeah.
But also, there's a second there with Mikey slamming his head down and handcuffing him. Where I was like, was Mikey always an agent who was finally just trying to get him to, like, reveal this?
Right.
But when he calls on the phone and just takes that message, I was like, no, he's still dumb.
But
he's just making a different power play.
Right. Which was awesome.
Smart move on his part, maybe.
Maybe.
If he could have pulled it off. But I don't think he will.
No. Oh, no, he's not that smart.
Yeah. And I don't know. Actually, he could because, I mean, having Mary Steenberger find out that Wynn Duffy sold her out.
Well, it's these weird allegiances because, I mean, when Boyd gets the money from Markham, and this him goes, oh, I just want you to know too that this is all her
idea.
Okay,
Markham finds out instead of her.
Yeah.
About about Wynn Duffy.
Yeah.
And maybe he doesn't burn that bridge.
Yeah, see.
Maybe that's something he exploits.
There's a lot of things there, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
And then
ultimately,
of course,
it ends with
a
big shocker.
I don't know why none of us saw this.
No, didn't see it coming.
But in one way, it makes sense because this whole. And if you look
it's
at this.
It's so
way,
Elmore Leonard, isn't
that
it?
That it's really about. It's that it's always really been about Ava. Because think about it. The whole idea of the boy thing is Ava killed Boyd's brother.
Yeah.
And then that's when she got involved with Raylan.
She kills Boyd?
And then Boyd takes her away.
I don't think he's dead.
No, he's definitely.
How many episodes are left?
There's two. He's definitely not dead. Actually, speaking of spoilers, this is one thing that TV shows do. If you don't watch something in this right time, they play commercials.
Yeah.
And then with the previews, you know, like, Boyd's not dead because he's in the previews, you know? So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, like, Ava has already been in this Crowder family, and this is just, and like her uncle hates them. And now you wonder, well, you haven't seen his body yet. Was he behind this whole thing too?
You think her asking about him is because she's gonna run to him?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it makes sense.
We got 10 million. Save me, Jeff Fahey.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. But it makes sense that this might all really be about Ava.
Yeah.
You know, who never left Harlan County. Who you find out was pissed at Raylan for not taking her out of Harlan County. You know, that whole convention.
I love seeing her and him kind of square off. He's like, do you really want to try? You're not going to pull that gun on me.
Right.
You can't do it.
Right. Well,
that's you would lose. I mean.
And then that's why it dawned on me, like, man, this thing is probably always about Ava. It's crazy. It really did. I mean,
so great.
And yeah, so now you got her on the lam. Who knows how badly Boyd's hurt? I don't. He's not dead. That's not the way Boyd's going to go.
Took a chest shot, though.
It looked like a shoulder shot.
Close to the heart.
Yeah. Well, she said sorry, Boyd, but shot him to incapacitate him. I don't think she would kill him.
Yeah.
But it just shows you, man. She didn't want to go back to jail.
She knows how to take out a Crowder, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I can't wait for the episodes. I can't wait to see how all these things are going to tie up.
All of it keeps culminating. And you know what? Next week, we got to talk about The Americans. We got a couple of shows that are also popping up. New shows that we need.
April is going to be insane.
Yeah.
You've got Mad Men. You've got Louie. You've got
Game of Thrones.
Three of the big heavyweights.
Oh, man. And I need some of these other shows to wrap up. Like right now,
we're gonna overlap. We're not even including like that new Bloodline show, Bosch, all these shows that are, you know, on Netflix Amazon Prime or whatever.
Oh boy, busy month, guys. Hey, but thank you guys for checking out the show. We'd like to once again remind you to go to iTunes, give us that 5-star rating and review. Write the review, we'll read it on the show, and like us on Facebook and on Twitter. Greg, thanks for meeting me out here for a bit.
We should do this more often.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, this is very fun. Maybe get a little earlier or something.
Yeah. We'll see how the audio turns out. And it's like, oh, no, this people couldn't hear half of what we were saying.
Right. But it was good.
Might be a watch, but we'll see. All right, guys, until next week.
TV Dudes out. Yeah.
we run a little bit hot tonight. I can barely see the road from the heat coming on. Reach down between my legs, ease the seat back.